This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Freddie Bell. Coming up this week, we have an update on COVID. We'll talk to Leibel Sternbach, and we'll be examining your money and how you can prepare for retirement. Joe McKenzie is here, too. Plus, Unity South Twin Cities joins us, and AARP Minnesota is here as well, sharing important information on how you can protect yourself from college scams. This and more on New Beginnings. Let's get started right now. Fall and winter are around the corner, which means not only is it time to get your flu shot, but U.S. health officials are urging everyone who is eligible to get their updated COVID-19 booster too. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended the updated COVID-19 vaccine boosters this month after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's authorization. The updated Pfizer-BioNTech booster is authorized for people 12 and older, and Moderna's is authorized for 18 and older. At the same time, health officials stress a recommendation to get your seasonal flu vaccine. Some disease forecasters worry that the upcoming flu vaccine could be a tough one for North America, as nations in the southern hemisphere that already had their flu seasons, like Australia and New Zealand, saw higher than average peaks in cases. So the United States could see flu make a comeback while COVID-19 is still circulating at higher levels. Barring any new and concerning coronavirus variants, some officials predict that the updated COVID-19 shots could be the start of recommended boosters for Americans each year, similar to how updated annual flu vaccines are given. One shot a year will provide a very high degree of protection against serious illness, and that's what we've got to be focused on. That, according to Dr. Ashish Jha, White House coronavirus coordinator. In talking with CNN, he says maybe for some high-risk people, the elderly, the immunocompromised, they may need protection more than once a year, but for a majority of Americans, that's where it is, and he says he thinks it's a good place to be. The updated COVID-19 vaccine booster and seasonal flu vaccines are available at most pharmacies, doctor's offices, and healthcare clinics. Not only are U.S. health officials encouraging people to get both shots this year, some local public health departments are planning to schedule joint vaccine clinics. The hope is for the clinics to make it more convenient and accessible for people to get their vaccinations, but not everyone might be interested or even eligible to get both vaccines at the same time. Plus, some say it's still too early to get a flu shot. A single dose of the updated COVID-19 booster is recommended at least 2 months after the initial vaccine series or your most recent booster. The officials say that it's clear whether you are vaccinated or you've had COVID-19, you'll get much higher levels of antibodies, and they are thought to help us get more prolonged protection, he says. The other thing that happens is that the immune system responds more broadly, and it looks as though we'll get more broad coverage against other variants. Dr. Jha goes on to say, as for the flu shot, the recommended timing for vaccination for this flu season is similar to last season, he says. As for children younger than 12 who are not eligible for the updated COVID-19 booster, Dr. Jha says parents should focus on getting their youngsters vaccinated with the primary series or boosters that they can get now. Last week, the Biden administration announced its plan to manage COVID-19 this fall, as there is the potential for an increase in infections, in part due to waning immunity from vaccines and infection. The White House continues to call on Congress to pass additional funding for COVID-19 response, having asked for an updated $22.5 billion last week. The administration's plan to manage COVID-19 this fall includes focusing on encouraging updated booster vaccinations and making them easy to access, as well as ensuring that people have easy access to at-home rapid tests and treatments. That includes the purchase of 100 million additional at-home rapid tests from domestic manufacturers. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services will also launch a paid media campaign aimed at increasing COVID-19 vaccination with a focus on those over 50, as well as Black, Hispanic, rural, Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders, and American Indian, Alaska Native audiences through television, radio, digital, and print outlets. That's our COVID-19 update, and I'm Freddie Bell.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Please welcome to our morning show an individual who knows how to spot a fraud, from a mile away. Please welcome Jay Happala from AARP Minnesota. He's the State Director for Community Engagement. Good morning, Jay. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. It's good to be back, Freddie. Thanks for having me on.
Glad you're with us. Let's talk about, you're involved in a lot of programs that help protect our money from criminals who have been running full force, but there's a brand new scam and it involves student loans. Can you tell us about this?
Sure can. So at AARP, we run a program called the Fraud Watch Network, and at the core of that program, we're taking thousands of reports from people all across the country who are sharing information about the scams that they see. And as soon as President Biden came on TV and announced that people were going to start getting some student loan forgiveness, you've probably heard about this. It's been on TV and in the papers and on the radio. As soon as the president announced this, the scammers are watching the news too. So as soon as that announcement came out, we started getting reports of all these scams having to do with student loan debt forgiveness. And I'll tell you this right off the top is, one, people who have student loan debt out there, you don't need to do anything or pay anybody to sign up for this new program or to take advantage of the pause on your debt payments until the end of the year. No one is out there to get you in early, help you jump the line, or guarantee that you're eligible for the program. And anyone who's telling you on the phone or in an email or a text message, or they try to charge you for it, they're lying and they're a scammer.
Well, we're talking with Jay Happala from AARP Minnesota. He's talking about student loan scams. Tell us what the real deal is from the Department of Education.
Yeah, that's right. So the real deal is that the government here, the Department of Education, is going to provide up to $20,000 in debt cancellation for people who have certain student loans called Pell Grants. And then people who have other kind of grants are going to receive up to $10,000 in debt cancellation. And this is for people who make quite a bit of money. So if they make less than $125,000 as an individual, they're going to get this debt cancellation. And it's not happening yet. So not until October for another month. You know, for now, the Department of Education is working on the plan. There are millions of people who are going to receive notifications that they received this debt cancellation. Other people are going to have to register for it. It's just that we don't have the instructions quite yet.
Wow. Jay Happala with us. So what do we do right now as an individual who's sitting there, I've got all this debt and getting these phone calls. What should our listeners do at this point, if anything?
I think that's right. So number one is be alert to the scammers who are out there trying to rip us off and get people to send in money because they think they need to register and pay to get, you know, these big debt cancellations. And then, too, it's a good time right now if you have student loans, make sure that your information is up to date with your, they call them student loan servicers, or wherever you pay your bills to pay off your loan. Give those people a call, send them an email, look on their website, and make sure that your information is up to date. Because if they already have your information, then they'll be able to send you the right information about how to take advantage of the debt cancellation.
Gotcha. So what if you don't have a student loan right now? Maybe you will sometime in the future. What is your message to these individuals?
That's a good question. So even if you don't have student loans right now, maybe you're going back to school and you're considering some of these loans, just be cautious. Because even when people are applying for student aid, there are, you know, lots of scammers and fake websites out there just designed to steal money and personal information. So the right place to start is a website that the government operates, the Department of Education, and it's studentaid.gov. So I'll say that again, studentaid.gov.
All right. Do you have a final thought for us this morning, Mr. Jay Happala?
Yeah, there's so much to keep track of and remember, and that's why our Fraud Watch Network is available to people. If you see an email or a text and you're not sure if it might be a scam, just give us a call, and we'll help you figure it out. That number is 877-908-3360.
All right. Jay, thanks so much for stopping by and helping us to keep more of our hard-earned money in our pockets. Thanks for being with us today. New Beginnings continues, and we have a couple of things in the buzz this week. A new episode of the hit children's show Peppa Pig is introducing two LGBT characters. A petition for the show to feature an episode with same-sex parents began circulating in 2019 and garnered over 25,000 signatures over the last few years. Then, a new episode aired this week featured a character who told Peppa Pig that she has two mommies and draws a picture of herself holding hands with them. The episode is titled Families and focuses on just that, different types of families that Peppa Pig learns about. The cartoon show has been broadcast in over 180 countries and translated into 40 languages since its premiere in 2014. James Cameron is announcing that Avatar 4 is in the making at Disney's D23 Expo. While teasing fans for the release of Avatar: The Way of the Water, the director says that filming is well underway for a third Avatar and production on the fourth has officially started. Cameron says he largely combined the schedules for films 2 and 3 based on the scenery and environments he wanted to capture, telling audiences it's a bit of an odyssey and that he treated it like it's a 6-hour miniseries rather than four separate films. The director also hinted at what could be in store for the fourth movie, saying he's already had to film children's scenes for number four while they're still young. But there will be a 6-year jump in the middle of the movie where the characters will age. That's The Buzz, and I'm Freddie Bell.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
This is New Beginnings, and joining us right now is the man who knows a lot about career. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. His website is rippleconnects.com. If you'd like to reach him by phone, you can call 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, hello and welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad to be with you. And for folks who don't know, Ripple Connects is not designed to do what?
Ripple Connects is designed to help someone that's looking to recalibrate or reimagine their career. And we do that through very specific ways to help you interview better using the STAR method and capturing some of your most relevant experiences, as well as using your natural network of your bench of career advocates. We know the hidden job market is real, and the best way to find opportunities is through the people that you already know. So we kind of help people get into that mindset of navigating those job changes so they can reinvent or recalibrate their career.
You mentioned the STAR method. What is that?
STAR method is a widely known method for answering behavioral-based interview questions. It just helps you talk about the situation that you were in, some of the tasks that you performed, and some of the results that you drove. What that helps is for the employers to see how relevant your experience is, but it also displays how succinct you are with your answers. And sometimes a 15-minute answer to an interview question is not ideal, but less than 4 or 5 minutes is ideal. And that's what we work on. Most people are not practiced when it comes to interviews, and that's what we help them with. They have a lot more confidence in what they've done in the past and how they project it in an interview.
In your counseling sessions, you talk a lot about helping people in several different areas when it comes to their careers. And you're also helping folks to stay focused on their long-term careers. We're focusing on that this weekend. So let's talk about the steps on how you stay focused. What's the first step when you're talking to someone, they're sitting across from you, or maybe you're on a Zoom meeting, and they're saying, Joe, I've got some career ideas, but how do you transform those into goals, and how do you stay focused?
Well, it's a simple method for us, and it's widely known that people, if you write your goals down and you share them with others, there's a better chance of you achieving them. If you keep them, if you internalize them, or if you don't write them down, you have a tendency to forget. And for me, I wanted to be a nonprofit leader for 15 years, and I always had that on the forefront, and I always made sure that other people knew that. And so that's how I help my clients, is that write that down. And it may not just be that. It might be that you want to help others. It might be in a more general term. It might be where you want to organize people in the community. And so just having a simple exercise that my clients basically take over for themselves, they write it down, but then they share it, and then they write it down, and then they refine it. And that's really where we start, because once that gets in place, we can work through that short-term adversity in our careers, in our workplaces, in our own lives. We've all been thrown a lot of things at us over the years, and to have them written down, Freddie, and to have them known by others, they become a bit of our accountability partners in helping us stay focused on where we should go with this.
Let's examine writing the goals down. I know that I've heard this for a number of years. In fact, I've shared it with audiences that I've had the opportunity to speak with. And it goes, I'm thinking of paper and pen and all the rest of it, but is it as effective if you write it down electronically?
I believe so. If you have it in several different spots, if you have that in a portfolio, if you have that in a Word document, if you have that in your LinkedIn profile, those are areas that others are going to see. You're going to be reminded. There's lots of different ways to approach it because technology does change. 15 years ago, I had someone help me write down some of my goals. And Freddie, I still have that original copy in a portfolio. And it's very interesting to see that many of the things that I wrote down in 2006 have come to fruition. And it's because I was very, very introspective of what I wanted to do, what I'd like to do, what I didn't want to do. And that helped me to really carve out this path. And I had to work through a lot of short-term adversity, but it was because those goals were there that I could keep focused on them.
It's really interesting. I think the mind is like a heat-seeking missile. So it'll just go anywhere until you give it the guidance system, and that's the goal. So you write that goal down, and your brain says, okay, got it. And in my case, it was like 13 years to achieve one particular goal that I had in mind, and that was to become a morning show radio host. But I forget about the 13 years over time because the goal was achieved, and now I'm on to something else. Is that the same type of thing that we just have to give directions to our brains in order to have it to help us?
I think so. I think just taking that step of writing it down, there's almost a breakthrough moment. You get out of your head, but then sitting down with those career advocates, that bench of career advocates that you have, that also adds to that. And they will affirm a lot of the things that you're thinking of doing. And that only gives you that confidence to just keep going. The world, many people are not your audience. And when they say, what do you mean you want to be a morning show host? Or what do you mean you want to be a nonprofit leader? I've always seen you as this. They may not be our audience, but having that written down, that focus and sharing with others helps us to get to that point, that reaching our long-term goal. And you're right, Freddie, 15 years or 13 years, we both made our long-term goals, but not without a lot of focus and not without a lot of struggle to get through some of those short-term adversity points that we have in our career and our lives.
Exactly. I think about the long-term goals, and you get there after 15 years, you get there after 13 years, you get there after a couple of days, whatever the case might be. But I think it's like having a map when you've got your navigation system on. if you don't have the navigation system on and you don't know exactly how to get where you need to be, any road will get you there. But if you have that map, you have that guideline that gets you there, that goal, if you get off track, you find your way coming back to getting on track. If you go left when you should have gone right, over time you'll get back on track. And I think that's what goal setting does for us. It helps to navigate through those adversities. If you're going through the mountains, it helps you to get through the mountains and back down to the plateau and really keep moving forward. Is that the idea?
Yes. And I see that as if things do get tough, you can latch onto that guide wire line if needed. And that grounds you, that holds you in place where you need to go. And often we get knocked off our game or knocked off our where we're going through a lot of different reasons. But that does help us stay focused, because sometimes we take a job that's really not conducive to our long-term goal, but we work through it. And Freddie, it may be where in the case of, you know, in my case, it was volunteering on nonprofit boards. Even though I was working in the for-profit sector, I was volunteering on board. So I was kind of refining my leadership and staying on path with my goals, even though it was volunteering while I was in the nonprofit. So that was kind of that guide wire that I could latch onto when it was seemingly, now that goal seemed like it was so far away or out of reach. But I think you're absolutely right. That helps us stay focused, gives us the confidence to know that maybe we can go out there a little bit, but no, we can always come back and stay on course.
Exactly. So I would imagine during this process, our final point, that you learn a lot about yourself when you navigate through adversity.
Oh, we could have a whole month of on this topic, and you're right. How do you work through adversity? At the time, it's painful. It's not very nice to work through, but you also know that, hey, I can take this. This is portable. I've worked through this type of situation before. I got through it. I'm confident that the next time this type of situation presents itself, now I can work through it. And that is easier to look back on to see how you did it than when you're working through it. But we all work through career adversity. And both of us sit here today knowing what we worked through in regards to adversity, but also what it taught us in where we are now. And that's the benefit of working through adversity.
Exactly. So if there are a couple of things that we should take away with us this weekend, what would they be, Joe?
Know that you write these ideas down, you share with others, and you refine them, and that you have accountability partners and your advocates. It'll start to resonate with others. It'll also help you to have that confidence to continually talk about it and to stay on track in case you get knocked off your course, is that you have that guide wire that will help you stay focused. And sometimes, Freddie, you're right, 13 years or 15 years, when you do achieve that long-term goal, you forget about it. It took 13 or 15 years, right?
Exactly. Joe McKenzie, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
This is New Beginnings. On the lighter side, hotel employees shared the most bizarre room service calls. A woman called the front desk and begged for sea salt scrum to remove her fake tan after it had gone wrong. Someone requested an extra bed for a doll. And after checking in, someone called to have their reservation changed to a room with a sea view. The hotel is over 100 miles from the nearest ocean. And a guy requested a large ground floor room so a guest could leave his motorcycle there. It's wacky, but it's true. A man stole a woman's hair. A first-time visitor to Indonesia who was traveling on a bus felt a tug on the back of her head and realized a thief had cut off 16 inches of her locks. A nearby officer nabbed the culprit, who told police he had intended to use a ponytail to make keychains. Yeah. One reason you could be overweight is upselling. Ultimately, we're each responsible for what we put into our bodies, but it doesn't help that according to health experts in the UK, the average person experiences roughly 2 or 3 upsells a week. Upselling involves stores, cafes, and restaurants encouraging customers to upgrade to larger meals and drinks or adding high caloric toppings and sides to their meals. The less you visit retail food places, lunches and prep meals at home, the fewer upsells you'll face. For the typical person, upselling means an extra, get this, 17,000 extra calories a year. And the Price is Right boasts no better sound than its announcer, offering up a brand new car. For over 50 years, the iconic game show has given away automobiles to contestants. For fans of the game show or classic cars, the Instagram account TPI Cars is busy cataloging the cars on stage primarily in the late 70s and 80s. The account's grown since its beginning last summer. Its first car featured was the first car on the Bob Barker version of The Price is Right. The Post even included the iconic descriptions from legendary announcer Johnny Olson, with this Chevrolet getting praise for its bucket seats and slick white striped tires. I'm Freddie Bell, and it's just for fun. We'll be right back.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to financial health and retirement with Libel Sternbach, Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. He's a great man. I enjoy talking with you, Libel. Hello and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Hey, how are you doing?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us. And I know that we get a lot of response to your programs. And this week we want to talk about the 4% rule. And quite honestly, Libel, I have no idea what the 4% rule is. Can you help me?
Well, you're not alone, because it seems like even the people who seem to think that they know what the 4% rule is, once they start talking, you kind of realize that everyone has a different impression of what the 4% rule is. And when you start actually digging into it, you discover that it isn't quite what anybody thinks it is. So let's talk about what, you know, when people think about the 4% rule. We'll talk about what that is, and then we'll dive into the details. With the 4% rule, right, in colloquial speak, right, what we like think about, what the media talks about, when you say 4%, it's, oh, I can retire, and if I only took 4% of my portfolio every single year, I would never run out of money in retirement. That is the idea that people have in their mind. Now, where this came from, right? Where did this idea come from that there's some magical number that if you only took that much from your portfolio and no more, you wouldn't run out of money in retirement? That's a, you know, that's a separate question, and we'll talk about that. But that is, you know, people have latched onto that from different studies. And when you start diving into it, you might start to question whether it's something you actually want to rely on.
Interesting. Everybody, we're talking with Libel Sternbach on this particular episode of Libel on Fire, and I just asked about the 4% rule. So why is that important? You said this is a way of structuring our money in retirement. Why is that important to someone right now who says, I think I've got enough money to retire, on which we can retire?
Well, the basis of the decision of how much money do you actually need to retire, right? How do you answer that question? A lot of people turn to these things like the 4% rule to try to gauge and, you know, have a crystal ball of the future, because that's really what we're trying to do, is we're trying to look into the future and predict what's going to happen next, right? And we both know, right, you can't predict the future. So then we start looking in the past and we go, okay, well, historically things have happened. So if historically things continue to happen like they have, and the future is like the past, then therefore this would be a safe number, right? And now we're starting to read into the tea leaves. And so if you don't even know what the assumptions are behind the tea leaves that you're reading, before you know it, right, you're, who knows what you're building on.
Interesting. Okay, so that's the 4% rule. I'm just going to ask it this way. What other rule is out there that most of our listeners, including me, don't know what is?
So when we think about the 4% rule, right, another way of phrasing that is you've probably heard, you know, save 25 to 30 times your annual expenses, right? That you should have that your retirement number, that the amount that you should have saved should be 25 to 30 times what you spend in a year. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, 25 times, right? So if you took one and you divide by four, it becomes 25. Yeah. So the 25x rule, right, of 25 years or 30 years is essentially saying the 4% rule, right? It's a mirror image of that, but it's for different reasons. And that's kind of where people come up with this number of how much money should you have saved up for retirement. It's based on this 4% concept that if you somehow took out only 4% a year, that you would be okay, right? And it's, you know, is it based on something? Well, let's talk about that. But that is what it's based on. It's based on this idea that if you somehow only took 4% a year, you would never run out of money in retirement. And let's just, you know, between the two of us, let's be honest, right? Realistically speaking, there's a lot of people who may not even have that much money in savings. Right. They might not have 25 times their annual expenses saved. So are we telling all of these people that they can't retire? Right. And if we're telling these people that they can't retire, right, well, reality has a different outlook. Right. Reality is, well, these people can't work anymore, or they're not getting a job anymore. They get fired. Right. Or they're forced into retirement. Mm-hmm. What now? Right. So there's this whole world of people who just, you know, they got to 65 or they got to 70 or whatever that year was, or they had an injury at work and it forced them to retire, and they don't have 25 times their annual expenses saved. They don't have, enough that they can take out 4% every year and be okay. So are we telling these people they're not safe, that they're going to run out of money in retirement? And I think when we start diving into, you know, where the 4% rule came from, and you start looking into it, you might question and say, well, okay, maybe I don't actually need that much money saved in retirement. Maybe I could take out more than 4% and still be okay.
So what do you tell your customers, the people who come to you looking for information? Do you live by that 4% or the 25% rule, sir?
I do not live by it. I think that as a rule of thumb, right, if you're trying to gauge whether you have enough money for retirement, I think that that's like a good rule of thumb that we can say, like, you know, yes or no. Like, if we only took 4% out of our portfolio, out of our life savings, and that covered our expense needs in retirement, then we are doing awesome, right? Because we can definitely create a retirement plan around 4%. If 4% is not enough, right, and you still have a shortfall, I don't think that you should at that point give up and say, well, I have to work longer or I have to cut my expenses. I think it just means you got to be a little more creative in how you structure your retirement, because that just means that this rule of thumb doesn't apply to you and you're going to need to use other factors to fund your retirement.
Very interesting. That's Leibel Sternbach we're talking with today on Leibel on Fire. There was an article that was written not long ago, Retirement Spending, Choosing a Suitable Withdrawal Rate, by three individuals, Philip Cooley, Carl Hubbard, and Daniel Waltz, and they nicknamed it the Trinity Study. Can you tell us the thrust behind it and why it's important to us?
Yeah, so the Trinity Study, which everyone kind of like looks to and calls, you know, the 4% rule or the Trinity, you know, the Trinity Study, which was, you know, Trinity University, which is where these professors were, actually came on the backs of another study that was done by a retired financial advisor, John Bagan, if I'm pronouncing his name right. And he's, you know, both them and the people who created that Trinity Study have come out multiple times over the years updating their rule. But let's take a look at the fundamentals, right? Both Bagan and the Trinity guys, right, what they looked at was they said, let's start with the question of how can we structure a portfolio so that someone would not run out of retirement money during retirement, right? So that they would not deplete all of their savings by the time that they died. Mm-hmm. That was the question that they asked themselves, right? Now, they said, okay, how are we going to structure this? This was, you know, 1998 was the first study that was done by the Trinity University, right, these guys. So they went back historically, and they looked 1925 to 1995, and they looked at different periods of the stock market and the bond market. And then they looked at the returns and they were like, okay, what percentage could we take out of a portfolio over a 15-year period or a 25-year period that if we took that percentage would consistently allow the person retiring to still have money when they died at the end of that 15 or 25-year period? Mm-hmm. Okay, now, I just want to point something out, right? It is a very admirable undertaking, right, that they look to the historical data, right, to see, okay, what does history tell us? But let's look at some of the assumptions of this study, okay? Assumption number one is that the past is going to look like the future, right? We starting
not
in
so 19, much.
Right, 1925 to 1995, right? Let's talk about all the changes that underwent the world, right? We're talking about, you know, coming off of World War One, right? World War Two, right? We have Cold War, we have the space race, we have hyperinflation, right, of the 70s. We had the Soviet Union in 87, right, defaulting on their sovereign debt for the first time, collapse of the Soviet Union. Right. And then we have the dot-com boom. So this was literally in the height of the dot-com boom was where the study ended in the first study in 1995. During that period also, by the way, right, we went off the gold standard. So in 1925, a dollar was worth a dollar of gold. You can go and exchange that dollar bill for a dollar of physical gold that you can buy things with. By, you know, 1970, you couldn't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And that completely, that's part of what drove inflation, and that completely changed economics. We have globalization, we have technology, right? The world did not look the same. The stock market did not look the same. 1925, you wanted to buy stocks, you literally went down to Wall Street. But nowadays, right, you want to buy a stock, you go online on Robinhood, and you can have that within a few seconds.
So with that, we're talking about the 4% rule. What validity does it still have for us today, Leibel?
So I think that it still has a certain, I think the premise was, let's look at what the historical returns of the market were and project that to the future, right? And we have to understand, right, we really have to recognize that finance as a discipline, as an industry, as a skill set is very new. Right. Stock markets only came into existence in the 1700s. And for the most part, most of what we consider to be, you know, modern portfolio theory and what we base all of our decisions on came about in the last, you know, 50, 60 years. So the fact that, you know, the Trinity study came along and they said, hey, let's stop guessing at how much money someone should take out of their portfolio. And let's do that based on facts and logic and historical, you know, projections of the future. I think that concept that you should look to the past and then say, you know, based on what I can expect the future to look like, let's use some statistical analysis to say what we can take out, right? I think that was the innovation that they did, that they introduced to the finance world, like, hey, don't just guess at this, do, you know, some analysis. But beyond that, the numbers change. They literally change, you know, every few years, because the stock market, depending on whether we're in a bear market or a bull market, will determine what the future expectations are for the return on the market. Now, over a long enough period, yeah, those numbers will kind of even out. But I think everyone will agree that the bond market has changed significantly from 1925 to 1995 or even to, you know, 2015 or 2022, right?
Exactly.
And what's going to happen in the future, right? It's not going to mimic what happened in the last 20 or 40 or 50 years. And when you're retiring, what matters is the next 5 to 10 years, not the next, you know, 30 to 40 years.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. We got to leave it right there. But if we'd like to get more information, I know that a great resource is yields4u.com, yields, the number 4, the letter U. .com. Is there another paper or any other resource that you would recommend before we have to step away for a few seconds?
On the website, we've got that resources tab. We also have a whole bunch of classes that you can go through. So the workshops on these specific topics where you can go through and get a more in-depth understanding of how it applies to your retirement.
Thank you, Libel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Libel's website is libelonfire.com. That's libelonfire.com. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that you can follow me on Instagram with Freddie Bell Radio. Tweet me at Freddie Bell and, of course, follow me on Facebook with Freddie Bell Radio Shows. And did you know that today is the National Day of Encouragement? It's a day that is dedicated to uplifting people around us and making a positive impact. Encouragement is free. It never costs us anything to say a few words to inspire a student, coworker, or a friend. Even a reassuring word to a stranger may make a difference in our lives. Encouragement lifts someone when they're down. It also motivates a person who has an eye on a goal. When we've failed, the right words remind us to keep trying. The right message may even create a spark that changes a loved one's perspective. Sometimes the act of noticing a job well done improves someone's day. Developing a habit of recognizing emerging talents motivates us to speak up and offer a kind word or a helpful tip. It's a practice worth having to improve relationships at work, at home, and in the world around us. Today is a reminder to offer a simple word of encouragement. And here are today's words of the wise. Of course it is, encouragement can change a life forever. Today's words of the wise, encouragement can change a life forever. You can find more about the Words of the Wise on Amazon.com and also on my website, FreddieBell.com. You're listening to New Beginnings, and we continue right now.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
That truth and how you expressed it raised us up. I actually had to stand. I could not sit through that. You lift us up. And I want to point out what Don so beautifully read, our daily word today, because it played with the word ease, and it also mentioned easy. And I'm hoping my lesson today on that subject of work and effort, that daily word might kind of set the tone for what at least I hope to achieve, and what will lift us up. And that is this idea of ease. Ease is not easy. Ease means to know who you are as created by God, to know the indwelling truth, and then to take on a task that you deem worthy in life and strive to bring it about. There is ease there because you're operating in alignment with your truth. But that does not mean that it's easy, as in little effort. Just think of some well-known athlete, perhaps Serena this week, and think when they achieve a goal or victorious in a game, you wouldn't call their effort easy, would you? But a true expert, someone who has honed their skill, it is ease in how they achieve their goal, operating from that place of inner power and from a place of practiced skill, learned ability. They achieve with ease their goal. You might think, I'm dwelling a little bit too much on that, but I think it's really significant. And if we pay attention to our daily word each day that we take it up, that one word can have powerful and rich meaning if we pay attention and see into its inner truth. I dwell on this because from my experience over several decades in Unity Ministry, it hurts my heart to see people leave Unity, give up on the Unity teachings, because they think we're saying, just hold the right thoughts and speak the right magic words, and your life will be easy. It's not what we're saying. We're saying live from these truths, the spiritual powers that God has given you, and you will live life with ease. Do you hear the difference? I had a minister call me from another state needing a little advice, consultation, support. And it was on this very subject. She was giving a lesson in a senior center, and she wanted to speak on this one's ability to achieve in life, to find healing, peace, power. And she said, but I'm a little reluctant. These are people that have real physical problems, some from age, some for other reasons. And I'm afraid they're going to hear our Unity message and just hear, think the right thoughts, say the right words, and your life is just going to be perfect. The so-called bowl of cherries. And it frustrates me because I do not believe that's how our Unity teachings were founded. I do not believe that's how our founders, the Fillmores, lived their life. They worked hard. They developed this Unity movement, and it was 28 years before they took their first vacation. Now, some may say that's not a good way to live with self-care, but they were really striving to achieve something and to communicate this idea that you can live with ease because of the principles of truth. But we're not telling you that it's going to be easy. So before I take up my lesson today on work, I wanted to almost impress or pound that into your consciousness. This whole idea of the gifts that God has given you, the way you were shaped by universal wisdom and given the precious gift of life, to have a life in this world. But we have to work that life, continually strive to stay in alignment, in integrity with who and what we are, is created by the universal power that created all we know and far more and much that is still in potential yet to express. You ever stop and think about the wonders of the world in which we live, watching that rocket on television attempting to make its shot to the moon? But it hasn't had an easy time. 2 days it's been scrubbed and set aside, and now it'll be at least the end of the month before they can attempt. Again, can you imagine how hard those thousands of people are working to get this project literally off the ground? But it's their knowledge, their perseverance, their skill, that they're going to get that rocket into space with ease, but it won't be easy.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. It happened this week. Queen Elizabeth's coffin was moved to Edinburgh, Scotland for public viewing. King Charles and members of the royal family traveled there to take part in the procession. Tens of thousands of people lined the procession route, and the funeral is next Monday. President Biden was in Boston to speak about his Cancer Moonshot Initiative. The program aims to cut the cancer death rate in half over the next 25 years and to provide support to caregivers and survivors. The president spoke at the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library on the 60th anniversary of Kennedy's famous moonshot speech, which informed the public of a plan to get humans to the moon. The U.S. Border and Protection officers are reporting their largest ever seizure of methamphetamine at the Del Rio port of entry in Texas. According to a CBP news release, agents discovered the drugs in a tractor trailer after the vehicle was given a second inspection. Over 300 packages containing over 1,300 pounds of meth were valued at just under $12 million. And NASA is hoping once again to attempt a launch of its mega moon rocket in late September. The space agency reported leaky fuel seals on the Artemis 1 space launch system. The fuel leak forced NASA to call off the launch of the 32-story rocket earlier this month. The launch is the first uncrewed test flight of the Artemis program that aims to return astronauts to the moon. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. My goodness, what a show we've had this week with AARP's Minnesota's Jay Hapala talking about college scams. Be sure to follow the directions he's given us. And a special thanks to Leibel Sternbach and Joe McKenzie for stopping by. And, of course, our friends at Unity South Twin Cities. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your weekend. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, I'm Freddie Bell, a brand new Broadcasting Hall of Famer, saying goodbye for now. Remember that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.